several years ago when I felt led of the Holy Spirit to begin the podcast that is now called Mavericks and Misfits. The goal for me at that time was very narrow. I really wanted to spend time addressing the need in our churches to return to a marriage of Word and Spirit. And I've, you know, rehashed that so many times on this podcast that if you listen regularly, you know what I mean when I say that. But for you that are first-time listeners or more recent listeners, when I'm talking about a need for the church to return to a Word and Spirit marriage, what I'm addressing is that when you read the book of Acts and you read the epistles, the letters from the apostles in your New Testament, you're going to discover very quickly that two things governed the church as a body in the first century, and really in the times after the first century, until the great divorce came between Word and Spirit. And when I'm talking Word and Spirit, I'm talking about apostolic doctrine. That means the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ and the doctrine, primarily the letters that the apostles wrote in the New Testament that unpack the Christian faith and also supply us with wise instruction about how to live out the faith, what to believe and how to live it out. And so that's what I would call the truth aspect, the written word of God, the authority of the word of God in our lives. We must hold to that. That's a non-negotiable. The other non-negotiable is the personhood and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. When you read the book of Acts and you read the letters that I mentioned just a moment ago, you're going to find out that the gifts of the Holy Spirit were not some luxury. They were essential for Christian living and for ministry. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit have been discarded by a large segment of the modern church. The discarding of the supernatural works of the Holy Spirit is represented by a doctrine called cessationism, the root word being cease. So cessationism teaches that the gifts of the Holy Spirit disappeared from the church around the turn of the first century. And of course, the Bible says nothing about that. Zero. It's a complete man-made doctrine. And were it not for just two or three verses, really one verse in 1 Corinthians 13, if you read verses 8 through 10, that's the whole, I call it the flimsy nail that they hang the doctrine of cessationism on. If that verse wasn't in the Bible, there'd be no discussion whatsoever about the gifts of the Spirit having ceased. But sadly, what you've got in modern culture, church culture, is you've got churches that pick either truth or word and discard Spirit, and then you've got those that embrace the Spirit that discard the written word and truth. Now, neither group would say that they discard the other side of the aisle. You know, cessationists will tell you, we don't discard the Holy Spirit. We believe in the Holy Spirit. I mean, goodness sake, he's the third person of the Godhead. He seals, he regenerates, he preserves. He leads. But then when you get to the specifics, you find out, well, how does he lead? What does he do? Because they paint themselves into a corner by saying that the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit do not exist anymore, but he still speaks to us. But then they'll say, no, prophecy can't exist because God said everything he's going to say in the written word. Therefore, he doesn't speak anymore. And it's just so, cessationism is so inconsistent. But they'll tell you. I mean, by the way, I used to be one, so I can speak very boldly and freely on this. I used to preach against the gifts of the Spirit in the mid and late 1990s. And so I'm not throwing stones, having never explored that camp. I used to be in that camp forcefully, dogmatically, until I realized that my commitment to the Scriptures left me no shelter for the doctrine of the gifts of the Spirit. I had to figure out, what does my Bible say about the gifts of the Holy Spirit? When I couldn't find anywhere. I mean, there isn't a verse. There's not a single verse that tells you the gifts of the Spirit have stopped. But so my loyalty to the Word of God destroyed the doctrine of cessationism within me. You know, but they're not going to tell you they don't believe in the Holy Spirit. And they do. They just don't believe in his ongoing gifts, which is, you know, tragic. And then, you know, you've got the charismatics. I'm part of that camp now. We believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We practice the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We don't believe a single thing has changed because the Word of God reveals the need for the gifts of the Spirit. And there's nothing in the Bible that removes the legitimacy of the Holy Spirit. So who in the world would we think we are to take out of the Word of God something that God put in the Word of God as both doctrine and practice? But, you know, a lot of charismatics would say, oh, we believe in doctrine. We believe in truth. We prioritize the written word, but they don't study it. They don't read it. They don't memorize it. They don't systematize it. They don't bend their life to it. And, you know, they got, you know, I'm being a little exaggerated here, but they got like 8 go-to passages and the rest of the Bible they've never read or practiced or applied or studied. And so we've got a bunch of ignorance in the body of Christ when it comes to the written word of God, ignorance and impotence. You know what? I think I'm going to call this podcast that, ignorance and impotence. Why? Because ignorance means you don't know nor believe the Bible, and impotence means you don't have any power. Your whole faith is cerebral. It's in your mind. You're always trying to figure out doctrine. You're always trying to study. Like, I'm a student. I'm a studier. I'm a professor at a Bible college. I'm going to talk to you about that in a minute. So I'm all for studying and learning, but I am not forever learning but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. I don't want to study just to go in deeper, 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 deeper levels of the same position I've been holding forever. What about advance? What about power? What about destroying the works of darkness? What about casting out demons? Why are the sick still sick? Why are the afflicted still afflicted? Why are we operating with no miraculous breakthrough when there's nothing in the Bible that tells us we shouldn't be? And so we've got ignorance and we've got impotence in the body of Christ. Now, for the remainder of the podcast today, I'm going to talk to you about one thing. I'm going to talk to you about this ignorance thing. Is truth important? Is studying important? Is learning the written word of God, the Bible, important today? Or are we just supposed to throw out that and just say, man, that's religion, that's doctrine, that's legalism, that's just, you know, trying to put God in a box? Oh my goodness, I get so weary of hearing that kind of stuff from people that just want to, you know, flow in the gifts. And like a flowing river has banks. If the banks are destroyed, then it becomes not a flow, but a flood, and it causes destruction. That's what's happened in a lot of the spirit-filled, charismatic representations of the church. They have discarded the banks, so the river has gone over the banks, and it has flooded the plains and destroyed lives. We need truth, friends. You've got to be a person of the Word, and that means you. That means you in your Bible. You making time to read your Bible, to study your Bible, to grow in knowledge. Now, a lot of people just, you know, they don't think this is important. And they say, no, man, life's going pretty good. I got a decent church. I got a decent job. I got a decent family. I love Jesus. I'm not doubting any of those things. But the idea that because life is working for you, therefore you are immune from being a disciplined student of the written word of God, that is a farce. That is immaturity. That is not only immaturity, it's hazardous to your spiritual journey. And a lot of people don't feel that right now because there's not a whole lot that is they sense is pressing against them. They don't sense the danger of their ignorance. And thank God they're saying, I'm not spiritually impotent. I've got power. I speak in tongues. I lay my hands on the sick. I go to a spirit-filled church. We see healings. Well, bravo. I'm glad, man. That's great. That stuff's great. But there's a danger in not knowing the truth for yourself. I couldn't imagine living in the vulnerability that I am 100% trusting what somebody has told me that the Bible says instead of learning for myself what the Bible says. There's a difference between what the Bible says and what somebody says that the Bible says. And there's no way for you to know that what somebody says the Bible says is true or false unless you're studying it for yourself. It's extremely risky for you to, base your beliefs on what somebody else says that they have learned from the scripture. Why would you do that? Why would you put yourself in such a vulnerable position of not knowing what the scripture says yourself and instead saying, I trust this lady, I trust this guy, I trust this podcaster, I trust this YouTuber, I trust this, you know, spiritual superstar that's all over, you know, the internet. Golly, guys, this is like dangerous stuff. Let me tell you why. In the book of 2 Thessalonians, in chapter number 2, there is the description of the end of the age, specifically the coming of the Antichrist. And without getting too in the weeds on this, at the end of the age, there's going to appear an individual, and he's going to have all the answers to the world's problems. He's going to be a political leader. He's going to be international, global. He's going to come out of nowhere. He's going to come into alignment with 10 other kings of the earth, 10 other leaders. Then he's going to emerge as the most powerful, and he's going to bring peace to the Middle East by a treaty. And then eventually he's going to pull off the mask, and you're going to realize, oh, this guy that we've adored is actually the Antichrist. And he's going to set himself up to be worshipped as God. And then he's going to enact a system that if you do not worship him, you cannot buy food, you cannot sell food, you cannot live life in the context of the culture that he has created globally. And those that will not worship him will ultimately be put to death. Now, what's interesting is that when you look at the teachings of Jesus and the writings of the apostles, and then you unpack the book of Revelation, you're going to find out that there's a lot of people that are going to, people right now, hear me, people right now that are in churches, people right now that are singing the songs, they're doing the Sunday thing, they're involved in ministry. These people are sincere in what they know, but they're going to find out at the end of the age, they didn't know what they needed to know, because what happens to these people eventually, they become deceived. They become deceived. And when you read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 through 12, it speaks of the Antichrist. Well, let me just read it. 2 Thessalonians, if I've been saying Corinthians, I was wrong. My brain is not quite in gear yet this morning. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 9, it says, the coming of the lawless one, that's the Antichrist, the coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan. So the Antichrist, the lawless one, his coming is facilitated by Satan's overseeing the process, the activity of Satan. What is it going to look like? He's going to come with all power. He's going to have false signs and wonders. So he's going to do some of the supernatural stuff. By the way, a lot of people don't want to have anything to do with the supernatural because they see already how Satan can deceive and how he can counterfeit and how he can dupe people. It's already beginning to happen. I'm not saying everything that happens and is attributed to the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. Very clearly, not everything is. But here's the thing. The fear of the counterfeit should never lead you to flee from the possibility of the genuine. The fear of the counterfeit should never lead you to the possibility of fleeing the genuine. So the fact that there's going to be false signs and wonders and false supernatural stuff at the end of the age should not make you say, well, if that's the case, I'm running from it. Because there's also going to be false teaching. Are you going to run from true teaching? There's also going to be false systems of doctrine. Are you going to run from true systems of doctrine? You never judge the validity of a doctrine or practice based on how it's abused. So when he comes, the Antichrist comes, he's coming with false signs and wonders. 2 Thessalonians 2:10 tells you why. He's coming with all wicked deception. All wicked deception. So his primary thing is he's going to be deceiving people through what he says and what he does. And the people that buy into it are described in 2 Thessalonians 2:10 as those who are perishing. So these people are not saved. They're not saved. Why? Well, it tells you right there. It says, for those who are perishing because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. So let me pause here. At the end of the age, the deception is going to go up exponentially. Even to the extent where if it were possible, the very elect would be deceived. And so what we've got is at the end of the age, you're going to have the Antichrist and the system. By the way, it's not like we go from glory to the next day. It's black deception. Darkness covers the land. There's going to be a process by which things are growing more and more deceptive. We're already in that process. And at the peak of that deception, the Antichrist is going to step in. And guess who's going to fall? Those who did not love the truth. They're going to be deceived. It's not maybe. It's not they might be. They're going to be deceived. And the Bible says the reason why they're going to be deceived is because they didn't love truth. Truth is objective. Truth is a representation of what God says. That's the context that we're looking at here. The Antichrist is going to come in and deceive people away from the truth, and he will be successful with those people because they never loved God's truth. Oh, they loved church. They loved the Christian community. They loved the music. They loved the sense of belonging. They loved doing religious activity, but they didn't love their Bible. They didn't love what God said enough to learn it, to study it. They liked the vibe of Christianity, but not the objective content of the faith. And so the only thing that prevents people from being deceived is a firm grasp of the truth. When you are walking in light, darkness will not overtake you. But at the end of the age, all these tares among the wheat will abandon Christ, abandon Christianity, abandon the church, and abandon all semblance of what belongs to Jesus, what represents Jesus, what is facilitated by the Holy Spirit. They will abandon that, and they will fully embrace whatever the particulars of are of the deception of that is facilitated by Satan through the Antichrist. It's a done deal. It's going to happen. And so the remedy is what? You've got to love the truth. So the passage actually goes on. What's incredible is the next verse after the Antichrist, the lawless one, is deceiving the planet with false signs and wonders and powers and wicked deception. Because those people did not love the truth, they're going to therefore buy into it. And then verse 11 says, on top of that, God sends them, the people that are being deceived by Satan, God then sends a strong delusion. This is stunning. 2 Thessalonians 2:11, God then sends a strong delusion so that they may believe what is false, in order that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. This is what we call judicial hardening. You see it at different aspects, at different points in the scriptures. You see that when somebody determines not to embrace God and his truth, they harden their heart against God, they commit to a lie, God actually gives them what they want. Oh, you don't want to believe the truth? Okay. At this point, since you've hardened your heart, you refuse. That's what it does say. It says that they refused to love the truth. And here it says that they, did not believe the truth. So God says, I'm going to help you. Since you have chosen deception, I'm just going to judicially harden your heart, and I'm going to give you what you wanted. You wanted to believe the lie, you'll believe the lie. You wanted to say yes to deception, I'm going to just allow you to say yes to deception. And I'm going to send a delusion at that point. It's a judicial hardening at the end of the age. They cannot turn at that point. So once people commit at the end of the age to a embracing of the satanic antichrist system and deception, and they will worship the antichrist as God, then God says, I'm going to send you a delusion. You will be absolutely convinced you are right. You will not be able to see that you are wrong once you have crossed that line. That is intense, man. People don't like that because we like God. God's always got to let us come to him when we are ready. And at that point, you're done. I'm not speaking this over you. I'm actually releasing this podcast to warn you that this is going to happen to a lot of people. And it's not that they lose their salvation. It's that they prove they were never saved. When you are truly born again, you will not apostatize. You will not renounce Christ. You will not reject Jesus. You cannot. But being a church member doesn't mean you're in Christ. Being involved in ministry doesn't mean you're in Christ. having a head knowledge of the doctrine of salvation, ask Jesus into your heart and you'll go to heaven when you die, which is the gospel message that many people were presented when they presumably got saved. Walk down the aisle, join the church, ask Jesus into your heart. Nothing about repentance, nothing about the Lordship of Christ, nothing about deny yourself, take up your cross every day and follow him. None of that. Just ask Jesus in your heart, repeat this prayer after me. Well, a lot of those people that are going at the end of the age are going to believe the lie of the Antichrist because the little prayer they prayed asking Jesus into their heart, where they never repented, where they never died, where they never laid down their life, where they never took up their cross, all of that's going to prove to have been a faulty system of man's religion that literally made people the twofold child of hell while they prayed that religious sounding prayer to ask Jesus into their heart. Guys, that is so dangerous. I just wish preachers would quit saying that stuff. Ask Jesus into your heart and you'll go to heaven when you die. That is not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. It doesn't mean that people that went through that as a child or even as an adult weren't sincerely repenting. What I'm saying is there's a better way to invite people to say yes to Jesus. So these people at the end of the age didn't love the truth because they didn't believe the truth. So in the vacuum of truth being the anchor of their soul, they're going to believe the lie. And they're going to perish. Now, why am I talking about all this ignorance? Hey, Jeff, talk about the impotence. Get on the people who don't believe in the power. Well, maybe next podcast, but for right now, I'm talking about the ignorance. We're living in days where people are completely anemic when it comes to knowing the scriptures. We've relegated it for the pastors, the seminarians, the professional Christians that earn a living by preaching and teaching. I mean, we're so profoundly blessed to have a copy of God's word in our own language, and people just don't ever read it. I mean, you don't even have to actually read it with eyes on paper. You can listen to audio. I have an hour drive to work when I come to the church from my home in Dawsonville, and most days I'm just listening to the scriptures, listening and listening and listening and listening, because I want the word of God in me. I want to know truth. I want the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God, Ephesians 1:17. So at the end of the age, the people who flee the true Son of God and embrace the lies of the Antichrist, they will be fully convinced they're doing the right thing, and they're going to die, and they're going to enter into the lake of fire forever. And the Bible says it's because they didn't love the truth and believe the truth. People are like, just be sincere towards God. Well, that's great as long as you're sincerely rooted in what he says, not what you feel or what you think. So why am I teaching this today? Well, as you know, I'm a Bible teacher. I'm a Bible preacher. Yep, I lead a church. We're all about mission and prayer and fasting and all of it. Transforming Truth is the ministry that was birthed in 2007. It's the umbrella ministry that Mavericks and Misfits, this podcast, is under. It's under the umbrella of Transforming Truth. Truth, truth, truth. Why? Because I am convinced at the deepest core of who I am that people must know the truth of the Word of God. So in 2007, I began to kind of clumsily frame up a ministry that ended up being Transforming Truth, which is dedicated to teaching the Word of God. Go to transformingtruth.org. Find a ton of resources. Go to look up Transforming Truth, Jeff Lyle, on YouTube. Find a ton of free resources. I've been doing it on TV, been doing it on podcasts for years and years and years and years. Why? Because my opinion doesn't help you and your opinion can't help me. We need to know what God's word says. And here's the thing. I don't even want you to take my word for it. I hope you'll consider what I say. I can tell you that I teach and preach the truth, but don't take my word for it. Study it yourself. That's the greatest thing that I could ever hear of happening in your life. Now, I'm going to tell you this. Just studying the Bible for, a disciplined devotional reading, that's great. I want you to have that as part of your life. But I also want to say this. We're getting into a climate in the American church where deception is abounding within the church. on so many different fronts. And I'm going to recommend that you do something. I help lead, actually, Todd and Karen Smith lead Kineo Ministry Training Center. I'm the operations officer there, and I work with an incredible team of people. Kineo Ministry Training Center is a organization. It is a learning institute that is dedicated to training people up in word and spirit. It's what I mentioned at the beginning of today's podcast. Word and spirit, word and spirit, word and spirit. So that people are not ignorant and impotent, ignorant and impotent. And so we are right now beginning the first session of registration for next year's classes. And 7 days in May, from May 19th to May 26th, we're doing everything we can on our end to onboard new students. And some of you that are current students need to go ahead and register during May 19th through 26th. It's a $50 registration fee that secures your spot at Kineo Ministry Training Center. Most schools charge $250, $300, $400 to get you to register. $50 secures your spot. Kineo Ministry Training Center is a four-year Bible college, but we offer several different tracks. If you're not interested in taking tests and quizzes and exams, you can audit our classes and get the knowledge, get the truth. You can also do it online. You can watch the live classes from your computer when they happen on Tuesday and Thursday evenings, or you can do on demand. On demand means you can register and you can literally earn a four-year diploma or a four-year degree by going at your own pace, watching and taking the courses by video. We offer a degree program, which is our deepest level of learning and training. And I'm one of the professors. I teach several of the degree courses, and I teach all of the year four in-class lectures. Karen Smith, Dr. Karen Smith, teaches year one and two. Dr. Robert Slairden, author of God's Generals, those books, he teaches year three, along with Dr. Philip Fields. And then we have guest teachers like Sarah Sutherland, Paul Johnson. We have Jake Cale. We have Ryan Lestrange. We have many of our adjunct professors that come in and film for us, and they do an amazing job. What do we all have in common? We believe in the authority of the Word of God. And we believe in the gifts and the necessity of the Holy Spirit. So May 19th to May 26th, I want to encourage you, go ahead and get grounded in truth now. Let us help you. That's what this is. This is me saying there's tons of schools out there. Go to one that teaches the Word and the Spirit. And I'm going to say that our goal is to be faithful in both. What do you know about the life and the ministry of Jesus? What do you know about a New Testament? Could you pass a New Testament survey quiz right now? New Testament survey. What about Old Testament survey? What does it mean to walk in the steps of Rabbi Jesus? What does it mean to follow the Son of God? And how do we interpret the Gospels and what Jesus taught through the lens which he actually taught the people? Very different lens than 21st century American Christianity. It's first century Jewish view. What does that look like? What about revivals and the history of revivals? What if revival's happening all around you and you're not noticing because you don't know what revival looks like? Well, year three, you're going to learn a lot about revival history. What about the Reformation? Why do we believe what we believe? What's the difference between Jews and Gentiles? What about the end of the age and the coming of Jesus Christ? We talked briefly about the Antichrist today. What are we supposed to believe about that? Then you've got issues like the life of King David. What can we learn from the life of King David and leadership? A lot of leadership emphasis for year four students. And then going through the entire book of Colossians for year four students on video. And then you've got what does worship look like from a heavenly perspective? I'm just touching on certain classes that are popping into my mind right now. What about the gifts of the Holy Spirit? What about fivefold ministry? What is church supposed to look like today? What about doctrine? What is the doctrine of salvation? You know, what is the elect? You know, what can a person lose their salvation? Can you defend your position on that? Some of you think the person can. Some of you think a person can't. Can you biblically defend it? Have you ever examined it biblically? Because if you haven't, you may be wrong. So these are the issues, guys, that I'm talking about. And listen, you can audit the classes. you can get a diploma, which means you don't have access to the degree video classes, but you can do all your diploma classes on demand. Degree is simply more material and deeper assignments. But you can literally earn an accredited four-year degree going through Kineo. But that's, you know, the degree. I've got a Master's of Divinity. I don't even know where my certificate, my plaque is. I have no idea where it is. Probably in a box in a closet somewhere. But the goal for me was not to get the piece of paper. The goal for me has always been, I must know the truth. The amount of deception that's going on in the world today, I must know the truth. I want my wife to know the truth, and she studies the Word of God. When my kids were small, we poured the Word of God into them. I got a granddaughter now. I'm not going to wait on somebody else to step up and make sure that Sierra has the truth. I'm going to be there. But how can I give away what I don't possess? How can you know that you know that you know that you are a person of truth? How do you know you won't be deceived? This is not meant to instill fear, because we are 100% empowered, and we can be proactive in making sure that we are deception proof. Deception proof. I'm going to say this, and some of you are going to cringe when I say it. I don't care. I am deception proof as I sit here and talk to you today. Not because I'm super cool, not because I'm super anointed, not because I'm in ministry. The reason why I'm deception proof is because I will not buy into deception when the truth of the Word of God is fresh in me. I'm not going off of the fumes what I learned 20 years ago. Some people studied more in their first couple of years as a Christian, and then are trying to live off the fumes of that. Constantly in the Word. Constantly keeping it refreshed in me. And as I walk in the Spirit, I don't allow sin in my life. I cannot be deceived, nor will you be deceived if you love the truth. Please remember, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, deception came, not to those who, I like what it doesn't say. At the end of the age, the people that fall to deception are not those who, you know, like didn't feel their faith, not those who didn't go to church, not those who didn't give their money. No, it's the people that fall are those who didn't love the truth. You can love 100 things in Christianity, but if you don't love the truth, you are a prime candidate for being deceived. And so we need to study. We need to study together. We need to intentionally commit ourselves to a life of learning. 4 years sounds like forever to some of you because you're young. But 4 years, man, goes by really, really quickly. And if you'll commit to a four-year trajectory, actually, I'm just going to say commit to 1 year. Commit to your first year at Kineo Ministry Training Center. And just say, okay, I'm going to give it a year. Let's see if I, at the end of that year, I am closer to Jesus and more confident and solid in my walk with the Lord and able to understand and communicate truth in a way that I wasn't before. I promise you, if you put in the work, that'll be the testimony that you carry. You will be stronger. You will be beginning to be deception proof. You will know why you believe what you believe. I mean, I'm going to tell you, when you come out of year one of Kineo, you will know more Bible than probably 90% of the Christians in America. That's more of a commentary on how ignorant America is. But can you imagine not being part of that negative statistic anymore? But you're now moving towards growing in knowledge. So I want to encourage you, 7 days in May, May 19th through the 25th, 26th, I can't remember, it's a Sunday to a Sunday, but it is beginning May 19th. And so I want to encourage you, go to Kineo, K-I-N-E-O, MTC, Ministry Training Center, Kineo MTC, excuse me, .com. Click the registration link, look for 7 days in May, secure your spot for $50. And then begin to peruse what you're going to learn. It'll tell you the courses, the classes, all of it. It's the real deal. The school was formed out of a move of the Holy Spirit. Dr. Karen Smith, like me, lifelong Baptist, came into the gifts a little bit later in her journey with Jesus and recognized, oh my goodness, the Baptists, and forgive me if you are one, but the Baptists who deny the works of the Holy Spirit, Presbyterians, Lutherans, whatever, Methodists, they're missing something. So she came into that part of it late, but then when she was walking in the charismatic world for a while, she became very painfully aware a lot of charismatics have no clue what the Bible says. So this isn't about being critical. This is about addressing an issue of impotence and ignorance in the body of Christ. Maybe you got the power, so to speak, but do you have the wisdom? Or you've got the wisdom and the knowledge, so to speak, but do you have the power? Well, kineomtc.com. You go and register there, and you're going to find a whole host of resources at a ridiculously affordable tuition. We do this on purpose. We keep it low so it can be accessed by just about anyone. We've got 45 plus campuses across the United States of America. You can host a campus in your church if you want to. Cost your church nothing. Just some space and a little bit of time. This is not a money-making endeavor. This is a disciple-making endeavor. Because at the end of the age, we want everybody to be standing. So if you want to, hit me up at jeff@maverickmisfit.com if you've got questions about Kineo. Go to kineomtc.com. kineomtc.com. Register today. Take advantage. The tuition goes up. Registration will close at the end of the 7 days in May. It'll open back up, I believe, in July. And it's going to cost you at least double to register then because we're going to be hustling. And so, listen, now's the time to do it. Secure your spot. You can audit the classes. You can show up in a classroom. If you live in anywhere near Dawsonville, Georgia, the classes are taking place live there. You can come and be in class. I mentioned earlier, you can do it online while the classes are being streamed live. You can take your courses then. And you can do the whole thing at your own. You can do it at 2 o'clock in the morning on a Thursday or Friday if you want. You can do it on demand. You can get your four-year degree on demand. So, guys, this is the time. This is your season to say yes to saying goodbye to ignorance, yes to saying goodbye to impotence, and be like the first century Christians who walked in the power of the Holy Spirit and the river stayed within the banks of the apostolic doctrine. My time's gone today. Hit me up if you got questions about registering, and we'll talk to you next week on Mavericks and Misfits.
Thank you for listening to today's Mavericks and Misfits podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe, rate, and review Mavericks and Misfits with Jeff Lyle on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. Your review helps us reach more people and spread the unfiltered message of Jesus. And don't forget you can connect with Jeff's social media links at maverickmisfit.com. We look forward to reconnecting with you on our next episode.